going to look particularly at verse 10 of chapter 10 this morning. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Have you considered what it is to life for people who reject the existence of God? They're left living for the moment. There is no overall point to life. I took a sample of a comment there, typical atheist position. You can read it here. If I get a what's it all for sort of feeling, then I say to myself, what's the point of it all? There isn't any point. I've highlighted the key point there. And somehow for me, I know it's not true for other people, that is really comforting. It slows me down, it reminds me that I didn't ask to be born here, I'll be gone, and I won't know what will happen. I'll just be gone. So get on with it. I find that comforting to say to myself that there is no point. I live in a pointless universe, here I am, for better or worse, get on with it. So there's no point, but I'll make the best of it. That is in great contrast to what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And the contrast could not be greater. Another example is a famous author, Leo Tolstoy, who wrote War and Peace. When he reached his 50s, he went through a bit of a crisis because he realized he'd been going through life without acknowledging this fact. And I'll read you his words. Today or tomorrow, sickness and death will come. They've come already. To those I love or to me, nothing will remain but stench and words. Sooner or later, my affairs, whatever they may be, will be forgotten and I shall not exist. Then why go on making any effort? How can man fail to see this? And how go on living? This is what is surprising. One can only live while one is intoxicated with life. As soon as one is sober, it is impossible not to see that it is all a mere fraud and a stupid fraud. That is precisely what it is. There is nothing either amusing or witty about it. It is simply cruel and stupid. And he's logically analysing things from the point of view of an atheist. Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So I'm going to have 3 points this morning. What makes living for Jesus rich and satisfying? How do you enter this rich and satisfying life? What does an ongoing relationship with Jesus look like? So let's look at the first point. What makes living for Jesus rich and satisfying? In verse 12, John 10, Jesus depicts us as sheep and the wolves coming to get the sheep. So what is he saying? That life is like being a sheep with hungry wolves roaming around ready and waiting to consume. What are some of those wolves? Well, self-centered pleasure. This seems innocent. I just want to be happy. If you live for pleasure, you'll never be satisfied. There is a short-term pleasure, of course there is. But if that is your goal, you'll become more and more absorbed by it. The danger is the lengths you will go to get that pleasure. You may start off simply watching TV, watching films, whatever, but you can then add alcohol and then maybe progressive drugs and, you know, casual relationships and all, seeking more and more pleasure in more and more ways which and nothing fulfills, which are wrong, and nothing fulfills. Pleasure is like a small teaspoon of water. You like it, but you are left desiring more. Jesus is warning there are many things out there seeking to take control of and rule your life. Jesus warns all of us have a master, someone, something that controls us. What or who is your master? Who is controlling you? Pleasure seeking can end up consuming you so that your life becomes a complete mess. What are some other rules? Well, there's the desire for a relationship. For women, it can be finding the right man. Then I'd be satisfied. I'd be happy. But so often it leads to relationship with the wrong sort of man, and the desire consumes you. There are other rules. What is driving your life? What is your chief end or desire? Another one is the pursuit of money. If only I had enough money, I could get what I want, and then I'd be happy. And the desire for it can lead to overwork, illegally claiming benefits, all manner of evils. This can be a wolf that consumes you as well. Jesus is saying he is the only one who can protect you. He does not consume you, rather he fulfills you. You were made for a relationship with him. Serving him gives you a rich and satisfying life as it fulfills your purpose. He turns you into a round peg and a round hole rather than, as you are currently, a square peg and a round hole. You only need to look at people with huge talents that have been consumed. George Best is a well-known talented footballer, but he got eaten by alcohol addiction. Could not stop drinking and ruined his life in the process. He was a nightmare to live with and ultimately paid the price. He was eaten. He died, killed by the thing he had become a slave to. Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd who looks after the sheep. He is the one who will protect you from these inner desires which seek to destroy you. How? Because he is the one you have been seeking for. For those who are seeking pleasure, God ultimately fulfills. Psalm 16:11 tells us, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence, and the pleasures of living with you forever. The pleasures of living with Jesus forever. That is what is the ultimate fulfillment. And those seeking companionship. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrificed his life for the sheep. Jesus is the one who is there whenever you need him. But what's the problem? I listened to a message from a pastor who was seeking to help a lady who's great desire was to find someone, and he started talking about Jesus' great love and his care for his people, and that if he trusted in him, in Jesus, he would find her needs all met in Jesus, in that relationship with Jesus. But what was her reply? She said, yes. But he's not there to give me a hug Saturday night. See, for us, another person is more tangible than God. An idol seems more real than the invisible God. You can touch it, you can feel it. What's the problem? We don't see with spiritual eyes. The great invisible God holding us tight to himself if we are a believer. What seems more real, God or the person beside you? God is just as real, and he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, if you come in repentance and faith and trust in Jesus. Jesus is saying, a relationship with me is more precious, brings more joy, meets your inner needs. By the power of the Holy Spirit, transforms your heart and desires so that you experience joy, peace, given patience, etc. Now, if you don't personally know Jesus, if you've not really experienced his life transforming you, if you've not experienced his forgiveness and love towards you, then you will not be able to say, I have a rich and satisfying life, as Jesus promises. So you need to choose. Are you going to continue with something that's tangible, even though it ends up with nothingness, helplessness, consumed by inner wounds eating up your soul? There is no purpose in it. Or are you going to come in repentance and faith and look to Jesus to forgive you and have a relationship with him? So how do you get or enter into this rich and satisfying life? John 10 verse 9 tells us, yes, I am the gate, those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find pastures. So Jesus is saying, I am the gate. I am the one who is able to bring you into relationship with God. Through me you find forgiveness, you find cleansing, you find your sin dealt with. We went to Keswick on a holiday recently, and we were at this log cabin. You see a picture there of where we went. We booked the log cabin and hadn't been there before, so we got the key, opened up, and went through the front door. The first thing we did was wander around and have a look at, and get a feel for it, see if there's enough room for four of us to fit comfortably for the week. We'd seen the pictures, but we hadn't actually experienced it. Now Jesus is the door to a new home, a heavenly home. And the question this morning is, will you enter in? Where are you this morning? Are you outside looking at the door? Or have you gone through the door into the new house? Some think they've gone through the door, but in reality they're still outside. So how can you tell? Let's move on to the third point. A rich and satisfying life. What does an ongoing relationship with Jesus look like? John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, fantastic book to read if you haven't already read it. Incidentally, Charles Haddon Spurgeon used to reread Pilgrim's Progress every year. Mind you, he did read a lot of books. John Bunyan also wrote The Holy War. In The Holy War, there is a town called Mansoul, and in this town there's various people, one of whom is Mr. Conscience. The town comes under attack through the air gate and the eye gate, and the inhabitants do not like what Mr. Conscience tells them. They dismiss him from office. The enemy comes in. The enemy agents already inside open up the gates and let the enemy forces come in. Mansoul is in a very bad way. Jesus then comes and he forces his way into the town. Mr. Conscience is reinstated. Jesus takes over the control of that town. But there's still a problem. In the walls of the town are the enemy's agents still. They cannot be destroyed without destroying the town of Mansoul. Yeah, this is clearly an allegory talking about you and me. As an unbeliever, we conclude, we let the enemy forces come in and take control. But when Jesus comes to you and you put faith in him, he comes in to take control. there may be still enemy agents around at work, and you still have your sinful nature, but you're looking to Jesus as the one who is in control of your life. You're looking to serve Him. So the rich and satisfied life is not without its problems and difficulties, but at its heart is a deep relationship with Jesus. So the question is, do you know Jesus? I'm not asking if you know about Him, but do you know Him? Is He a distant figure of history, or is He the one at the centre of your life, controlling and transforming you? There has to be a desire, however imperfect, to do what Jesus wants, to please Him. Disappointment when you let Him down. Jesus said, "Those who love me will do as I command." So, are you experiencing this rich and satisfying life Jesus promised? If the answer is no, then why not? Maybe you are blaming your circumstances or your background. But Jesus will deal with your circumstances, will deal with your background. What's the real problem? As our pastor says, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Your problem is your heart. It is how you react to circumstances, how you let the past dictate your behaviour now. That's the question. And the answer is, as Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, some have professed faith in Christ, but have never taken on the yoke of Jesus. Now, the yoke, as you probably remember, is that wooden beam going across the necks of the ox. So the oxen paired together will have this yoke, and someone behind can pull on the yoke and direct the oxen left, right, or straight ahead. Have you submitted to Jesus' control? Have you said, "Jesus, you know best. I want to do as you want me to"? If you've never genuinely said that to Jesus, then have you ever really come to Him? Have you really, do you know He's forgiven you? Because if you have a love for Jesus, then you'll want to do what He wants you to do. You want Him to be in charge. Now, you'll always fall short, you'll never obey completely, but if you're a believer, as Paul says in Romans 7, you'll feel bad about it. On the other hand, if you're continually ignoring Jesus, doing your own thing during the week, ignoring His commands, doing what feels right to you, indulging your desires without a moment's thought of Jesus, then you're not a believer. You're still going to hell. And it is no surprise this promise of a rich and satisfying life made by Jesus is not happening for you. If you have not entered into Jesus' kingdom, if you have not submitted to Him as a King who can tell you what to do, then you will not experience this rich and satisfying life He promised. If your life is a complete mess, you need to go back to square one. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Ask Him to give you a heart desire to do everything He wants you to. How did the gospel change us? by giving us an increasing love for Jesus, which surpasses all other loves in our life. By giving you an increasing faith in Jesus, so that whatever happens, you know God is in control, working out His purposes. By the Holy Spirit, with divine power, changing your heart, replacing hate with love, evil with goodness, impatience with patience, sadness with joy, a fretful, anxious, wound up heart with peace, cruelty with kindness, out of control binging with self control, fickle waywardness with faithfulness, a hard, stony heart with gentleness. Only the gospel changes us from the heart. The Holy Spirit works on the heart, the desires that drive our life. Have you experienced this? Would you like to experience this? Then ask Jesus to forgive you and give you a desire to completely and absolutely obey Him. And then this verse will be true for you. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So in summary, what makes living for Jesus rich and satisfying? Jesus made you and knows how you work. Living for Him is what you were created to do. That is your purpose. How do you enter this rich and satisfying life? By coming to Jesus as the gate to a new life. He provides forgiveness, a new start. As you admit to Him you've messed up, your sins, you've done wrong, you need His help to change, as well as His forgiveness for what you've done. What does an ongoing relationship with Jesus look like? It is one of following Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit making you more holy, more like Jesus, day by day. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful promise of a rich and satisfying life for all who come to you. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us transform our hearts day by day. Lord, we pray. Lead us and direct us. Lord, we pray. And may any this morning who do not yet know you, who do not yet have this relationship with you, Lord, help them to come. May they indeed come to you for forgiveness, for life, for a relationship with you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.